Just up, but we're a very heavy load, and we're finally here. touching my face. Don't hide, the snake can see you. Old friends you might not remember, fading away from you. The Gold Heart Mountaintop Queen Directory. The Gold Heart Mountaintop Queen Directory. And we looked, and we passed through the hallway of shatterproof glass. She runs through the night as if nobody cares. She screams and she cries and ignores all the stares. She wants me to come, but I'm never going there. The Gold Heart Mountaintop Queen Directory. The Gold Heart Mountaintop Queen Directory.
Listening to Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined by Adam. And we just came back there from a set of a lot of songs, all from the same album, B-Thousand.
It's a tough one to get out there. B-Thousand.
B-Thousand. I didn't realize Christopher Walken was here. Hello.
Little B-Thousand. There's a couple different origins for what the name is. You know, some have said, and I think even Robert Pollard has said polarizing things, go figure, but in interviews he said, if you hold your tongue and try to say Beethoven, or if you hold your tongue and try to say Pete Townsend, it sounds like B-Thousand. And there's been other conflicting things from band members about what the actual album title references. I wonder if, like, the collage aspect of the album itself is just kind of an assemblage of words that doesn't necessarily have a particular meaning, but it's just something that assembled gives across something. Some sort of feeling or essence.
Maybe we should mention also, in terms of Pollard's lyrics, they're often very, sometimes seeming not connected at all.
Yeah, I would say oblique in a way.
But they do connect. But especially for this album, he did a cut-up technique where he would cut up different words and place them together like a collage for a lot of the songs.
Yeah, as inspired by the writer William Burroughs.
Yes.
And he would do that also in a way with the four-track recordings that the band would have, producing a number of really strange and unusual sounds. As we heard, B-Thousand is celebrating 30 years of its release this week, and what can we say about it? It's a fantastic record. If you like noisy, quick, fast rock and roll that's melodic, a little bit rough, a little bit raw, and makes you think, and makes you feel something, then this is an album for you. We'll run through those tracks, but basically, if you have a copy of B-Thousand, if you don't, you get one. But also, yeah, I think it will be a thing where you'll find all these tracks on there. So we heard I'm a Scientist. Before that, we heard Demons Are Real, The Queen of Cans and Jars, Gold Star for Robot Boy. We have a double gold here because we also had the Gold Heart Mountaintop Queen Directory.
Echoes Myron before that. Hot Freaks. The second song, which is Buzzard and Deadly Crows. And then we started off with Hardcore UFOs, which we're also currently hearing in the background. That's a selection of songs. Maybe they should have been called Guided by Collages.
That would be a choice.
That would be a terrible band name.
But with that said, the band would go on to get a lot more commercial success and critical acclaim hereafter.
Alien Lanes was the next one, and then there was quite
a few other releases. And they're still in some iteration performing and touring right now. In fact, they have a new album that's coming out.
There's another album coming out. There's usually more than one a year, and I think that there is one actually coming out shortly, if it's not out already.
I want to say this just before we go to the next subject. I love that Robert Pollard threatened with this, that he was going to not release music anymore. He was not going to perform with the band. This would be the final thing, coming from the most prolific rock musician that I think I've ever encountered. Like, I thought the Fall's discography was ridiculous. Guided by Voices trumps that. And almost any other artist I can think of.
It's just like, it's like he breathes in the morning when he gets up, and there's 10 songs.
Pretty much, yeah.
But he's just, he has his own technique, which he doesn't really talk about too much. But he's clearly able to generate ideas that, although they sound like Guided by Voices, even the newer records, they're different. Also, he's with some members from this lineup and some from a later lineup. You know what? And I've seen them live. We've seen them live. They're a good live band. They're a good band. So B-1000 is great. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. That's all we should say, maybe.
Yeah, I can't think of too much else to add. We did have another anniversary episode where we celebrated 25 years of this record 5 years ago, of course. So check that out on revrock.blogspot.com. More information about that episode and the songs we played from that. But we're going from that one focus set into another focused set, this time on the saxophonist, contrarian, manic performer, and all about volatile human being who really was a trailblazer. Like, if you want to peg anyone as a firebrand, definitely this man was. James Chance of James Chance and the Contortions, who passed away at the age of 71 this week.
Yeah, and you know what? He's made a lot of music. The Contortions, which was his first band where he explored this, where he was the leader with saxophone, kind of a funk jazz dynamic, didn't really last too long, the initial lineup anyway, but a lot of live recordings would be released throughout the years, and there's a bunch of live albums. We're actually going to hear a track, maybe two, from some of these live ones. So there's a lot out there, and live they were very different than I feel than on record, although they're probably the most recognizable or well-known records from James Chance are By...
Well, By the Contortions.
With the Contortions.
And, yeah. You know, Contort Yourself being that, it was a huge single, but not in its original iteration, I should say. It was a remixed single that was released and became a disco hit, of all things. Because we talked about having this abrasive musical style with no wave bands, but then having that incessant beat behind it where it was still danceable despite the cacophony of noise that you were being hit with. And yeah, all it did was clean up the song a little bit, make it a little bit more melodic, add some reverb, and it became a dance floor hit and basically helped James Chance pursue the rest of his musical career for the next few years. It funded that. And he released a number of great post-punk or no-wave albums, however you want to designate them thereafter, including By... where it was titled under James Chance and the Contortions, even though that was a different lineup than the original Contortions band. And then he would make many other changes, perform in other groups with other names, which had kind of a returning cast of characters from a previous iteration of the Contortions. There was a very famous name change he performed for his sophomore record, Off White. That was by James White and the Blacks.
Yeah, and there was a lot of disagreements in terms of like credit and royalties, I think, with the members. That was part of the reason for the breakup. But they did reunite in the early 2000s, I think 2001, and they did play sporadically with the original lineup later on. So they did kind of make amends, I suppose. They never did record under that iteration again, I don't believe.
No, I don't believe so either. And there were a number of other groups and artists that James Chance performed with during his lifetime, but the core of what he's known for are in those halcyon days of CBGBs with the no wave scene and performing not only along with bands like DNA and Teenage Jesus and the Jerks, but with the Contortions, making very confrontational music. Music that was all about feeling, how do you put it? Put out by the rest of the world. You feel fully like an outcast and you embrace it and you become confrontational with that. And he would be confrontational, not only musically, but he would sometimes jump off the stage and slap people in the face in the middle of a performance before jumping back on stage.
Didn't he famously slap a Village Voice critic?
Robert Christgau? Yeah, he sure did. And, you know, I'm not going to make apologies for his behavior during his life. I think James Chance lived the type of life and made certain choices that I wouldn't necessarily make for my own. But I'm not here to evaluate his life. I'm here to evaluate the art that he created. And there was something so kinetic and so unusual and different about the art he made. There was really no one else doing anything like the Contortions or James Chance at that point. And that's saying a lot considering the burgeoning new wave and no wave scenes that were coming out. Yes, there was kind of dance-oriented punk rock. There was post-punk, but there was nothing with that fiery acid jazz flavor that he was doing. And we're going to hear a number of songs from that. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to play two sets, kind of broken up by another block of music. And this first block is going to feature those very early years of his recordings from 78 through 79. And with that, there are four different groups that he's credited for, which is crazy within a two-year span. So we're going to start off actually with something from what I think is James Chance's best known record, titled By, and that is credited to James Chance and the Contortions. We're actually going to play the opening song from that, called Designed to Kill, which I think encapsulates what his attitude was. And we're going to get into some other music from this incredible musician who broke so many boundaries. What can we say but rest in peace.
All right, let's get to it. This is music from James Chance with the Contortions, and the first of two sets. Let's get started on Revolution Rock with Designed to Kill.
It's true. Thank you.